The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Winsome boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn.
Welcome, welcome, folks. This is James Kelso up in North Dakota, and we have with us tonight Paul Fromm, who's in, can I say it, Paul? You're, well, you tell the folks where you are.
Yes, I'm in London, England. I was covering the Alison Chablot trial. Yes. Alison is a chanteuse, a singer, songwriter, entertainer, and she's done a number of very sarcastic videos, video songs, satirical. One of them is called Survivors, and you might want to Google that. I mean, on YouTube, Survivors. And she's on trial for putting up grossly offensive material on the internet, and that's material that's critical of the Jewish, self-serving account of World War II. And it's quite a spirited fight. The British Crown or government did not want to prosecute her. In fact, the Jewish complaining groups, was a group that was called Committee Against Anti-Semitism, tried several times to get the police to charge her, and they said there just isn't anything there. The British Crown wouldn't charge her, so they launched a private prosecution, which the Crown eventually took over. And so that was what was going on today. We hope the trial would all be concluded in one day, but not so. It's nothing like Law and Order. The inefficiencies and the delays and so on, incredible. So part of the prosecution's evidence was heard today and seriously damaged in cross-examination by the Allison's lawyer, Adrian Davis. And then the defense's witnesses and the final summations will be on March the 6th. So the story's not over. But that was that's what I'm in England for. And it was very, very exciting time, very interesting.
Now, is Adrian over from Canada?
No, Adrian Davis is a British lawyer.
Oh, okay.
He assisted David Irving at one point. No, he's a British lawyer, and he's quite good. He's being he's frequently being at events in the United States, like numerous American Renaissance conferences, etc.
Well, glad you're covering that, and well done, Paul. And it'd be interesting to hear, you know, hear a report from what used to be merry old England.
So let me give you a little vignette. I would say about 25 of us met at what's called the Tube, the subway station at Marylebone, a few blocks away from the court. and we then marched with Allison to the court. And as we entered the court, there was the, what are they calling themselves now? I just want to get it right. Yeah, the court security officers. Every one of them was a Negro. In fact, I think they were Africans. And they were pushy and arrogant as they, you know, we went through a metal detector. And, you know, you put your wallet and your coins and keys and cell phone and, you know, anything else you might have that's metallic in a tray, and that goes through some sort of a machine, and then you go through. And real pushy and arrogant. So when I went through, the individual, agent said that, you've got something in your pocket. I said, oh, yes, I forgot. A very small camera. Oh, you have to give that. You have to give that to us. I said, why? You can't take pictures. I said, well, no, I understand that. I'll undertake not to take pictures. I understand that. No, you have to give it over. I said, why? You have to give it over. I've explained it to you. And like real arrogant, absolute almost orgasmic sense of being able to boss around a white man. And every one of them there was a colored. So finally, I gave it over, and I said, well, when will I get it back? We told you. And you're like really arrogant. I gave it over, and then at the noon break, I came back and asked for my camera. But you have to sign this. I said, well, why should I sign this? Well, we're giving you the camera. I said, well, it's in some sort of an envelope. How do I know it's the camera? See, my attitude is, hey, you don't trust me. I don't trust you. I mean, why should I trust you? You know, I don't know you from a hole in the ground. Anyway, eventually got my camera back, and here's the big laugh. After the afternoon break, I came through the same procedure, and this time, I still have my camera in my pocket. The Negro catches the evidence of some metal, and he assumes it's my buckle belt, and he says, oh, that's okay, you go through. the whole thing's a joke. And then he promptly took off, and he told the other ones, I have to go and pray. He's a Muslim, I guess. And during the morning incident, my colleagues tell me the three or four guys came through without even being searched because I'd so distracted the five of them. I didn't raise my voice or get angry, but I don't like being pushed around by these coloreds. And the funny thing was, you could go through with your cell phone, and I would imagine just about any guy there had a cell phone that could take pictures.
Yeah.
So I couldn't bring my camera, but I brought my cell phone. All I had to do was to press a button, I'd be taking pictures like mad. One of the things, I noticed in Canada, and I think in Britain, is people feel beaten down by these third worlders, and we don't push back enough. And it was a good day in court, though. But when one of Allison's songs was played, well, actually three of her songs were played by way of evidence. But when the first song was played, called "Survivors," and I urge people to check it out on YouTube, Allison Chablot, "Survivors," the public gallery broke into applause. Well, the judge went nuts and said, if that happens again, you'll all be cleared. But in the afternoon session, when the Jewish witness who had initiated all these complaints was cross-examined and just devastated, the gallery repeatedly laughed out loud, loudly, and nothing further happened to them. So it was an exciting day, and it emphasized how important it is for us to back up our people, to show solidarity when any of our people is under attack. It has a huge effect because the alternative is some poor person who's in the prisoner's box all alone, and everybody in court except his lawyers against him, or just a functionary, supporting people under attack is really, really important.
And of course, the other thing that's highlighted by any of these cases, folks outside of the United States, really snap into focus that the First Amendment really doesn't exist beyond the borders of the United States.
Absolutely.
And so it's and you know that's a you know my goodness, you know what, come on, you guys outside the United States, you need a First Amendment just like ours, and you can do it. And
you know, I was interviewed by several outlets of the British press, and this is a slightly different issue, but I tried to flatter England and say, you know, you were the bedrock of the rights that we expanded upon in North America, but you gave us Magna Carta with those basic rights for the individual. But, you know, one of the rights that the British have lost is something, you know, anybody who's ever watched a TV, you know, crime or police or detective show has heard, you know, these are your rights. You have the right to remain silent, but anything you say can and will be taken down and evidence against you. You have the right to remain silent. That's a fundamental right in Anglo-Saxon law. It doesn't exist in England anymore. If you're, let's say there's a traffic accident and, you know, you're half dazed and the police are questioning you. If you say, well, I reserve my right to remain silent until my lawyer shows up, or anything you don't say cannot be used in your defense. So in other words, if you don't say everything you intend to use in your defense at that point, it can't be used.
Oh, that's so.
So there you are. You know, you're upset. You're dazed. You really need some comfort and advice. If you don't chirp up, you can't say what you might have said later on. That is totally different from the situation in the United States or Canada, even.
And of course, that's amazing, Paul. That's an amazing example. And folks, it's all over. It's all over outside the United States. So this is so precious, what we have here. We've got to guard it. And thanks to the Internet, thank goodness, folks, the free speech that we're able to engage in right here, right now, on the air, right now. This is an example of it. This show is available in England. It's available in all these countries where the First Amendment rights that we're displaying right now actually would prevent a show like this. And many other shows, they would prevent the entire existence of the Republic Broadcasting Network wouldn't even be possible outside the United States. So, give yourselves a pat on the back for it making RBN run. And Paul, talked to me earlier before the show and said, how are we doing over there in the United States? The news, things are happening so fast here that in 24 hours, a lot of things can happen. And, of course, a lot of things have happened in the last 24 hours. One of the most interesting, of course, being Donald Trump had this meeting in the White House with 25 U.S. senators. And the Senate is not as conservative or right-wing a place as the House. The Senate is in bad shape. And so it was a pretty sorry meeting because you had to listen to people like Dianne Feinstein and folks like this. And it was a low energy. You could say it was a low energy meeting. But some people, Paul was asking, you know, are we, is there any sellout going on in as regards to DACA? And Paul, my answer is no. I don't think there is. Now, somebody who doesn't agree with me today, or at least is maybe strategically, tactically, Ann Coulter, she put out a bombshell of a column today. In which she really is hard on Donald Trump, and I appreciate when Ann Coulter does when she thinks something is amiss, she does not hold back. So in her column, I think she'll come back from this column, because remember, this is the brilliant woman who gave us the book Adios America, and then she followed that by the also brilliant In Trump We Trust, E Pluribus Awesome. And so she has been a tremendous supporter of Donald Trump. She's introduced Donald Trump at primary campaign events, and but she's a very important person. So some of her columns, she's had a few of these where she it was as if she was firing a shot across. Well, I don't know. I don't want to get a metaphor mixed up with metaphors here. Warning. She's been warning the president or trying to alert the president when she was worried that maybe somebody was misleading him. And this is such a case. She watched the meeting with these senators, and it was so mealy-mouthed, and, you know, listening to these people, it's horrible. So she got worried that, oh, okay, there's a DACA sellout underway and so on. I don't think so. That's not how I take it.
That's what I was asking you about off the air, because It was only reported to me this morning, as just before we headed to court, and my colleague said he was just reading Ann Coulter's column. But when I got back and finally got on the internet, I couldn't find any evidence of the grand betrayal. So that's why I asked you off the air, and that encourages me a little bit.
Yeah, nothing has actually happened. This was just a meeting between Donald Trump and 25 senators, and you know, he was speaking very extemporaneously. Cameras were flashing. You know, people were jockeying for attention. So there were some extemporaneous comments that I think people are taking, really inflating meaning into them, I don't think is there. But Donald Trump has had some excellent tweets since that meeting, which he made it very clear the wall is necessary. And my take on it...
Build that wall,
yeah. My take on it is that Donald Trump, the most masterful negotiator and deal maker we've ever seen, is... I think he's outfoxing those left-wing Democrats that were sitting at that table with him just by their act of sitting with him at this polished mahogany table and engaging in, pleasantries. It was a lot of pleasantries going back. Donald Trump, for instance, saying to people like Dianne Feinstein, you know, these are people I really respect, and so on. And, of course, we know he doesn't respect Dianne Feinstein. But just by... having these people sitting at the big mahogany table, Donald Trump is changing the negotiation landscape. He's able to say, well, you know, I negotiated with you. I talked to you, and you guys couldn't work anything out. So, you know, now we're going to go with my plan. And I think he knows that's where it's going, that these senators who have not been able to do anything good about immigration in decades, they're not going to come up with anything good. And the Republicans are not going to agree on anything with the Democrats. So I'm not going to read Ann Coulter's column or parts of it, because I think this is one of those columns where she's going to come back. She's going to bring it back a little bit. I'll read you some tweets from Donald Trump that are pretty encouraging that occurred after that meeting. He said in the meeting, you know, I respect all of you so very much. Well, here's his tweet from 11 hours ago. The fact that sneaky Dianne Feinstein. So this is the real Donald Trump, folks. Sneaky Dianne Feinstein, who has on numerous occasions stated that collusion between Trump and Russia has not been found, would release testimony in such an underhanded and possibly illegal way, totally without authorization, is a disgrace. Must have tough primary. In other words, he's saying, let's get Dianne Feinstein primaried. Here's another tweet. Now, this directly references back to that meeting about DACA. 12 hours ago, our president tweets, it just shows... Oh, no. Let's go to the previous tweet. He says... I'll read you this right after the break, folks. On a raid that's going on nationwide against 7-Eleven stores. It's pretty exciting. We'll be right back.
We are are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's
thanks for
sound?
Tuning us in, folks. You're listening to the Trump Phenomenon, and the let me just add a little bit of detail here to this, the reaction to the Trump meeting in the White House with these left-wing Democrats, and there were Republicans in there too. Here's Lou Dobbs talking with Ann Coulter yesterday. Let me find it. Here it is. Here he is. Okay.
Order of this president. I am also absolutely, without question, and unreservedly a champion of his wall and making certain that we secure the borders before there's any talk with the... This was an assemblage of some of the worst lights of the Kennedy-McCain effort to create comprehensive immigration reform. And it reminded everyone in Washington what you do when you don't have a solution is you expand the problem. They made it comprehensive. Vast.
Well,
and by the way,
and also,
still
it
no
seems as if Trump It seems, yes, but it seems as if Trump thinks he's going to get all this great press by giving the left everything they want. I promise you, he's not going to get good press from this. They're still going to say he has dementia. If anything, they have more arguments now with him jumping around and abandoning his base. His only hope is to be pedaled to the metal, fulfill his promises, build the wall, end chain migration, and deport these dreamers who are, again, as I said last week, they ought to go before MS-13. They are just a Mexican Antifa. They are the worst of the illegals.
And you don't like the way they create so much trouble. By the way, the average age of these so-called dreamers, the president himself refers to them as kids. They are far from it.
Corrected himself on that. That was actually one of the high moments of the press conference. I mean, every once in a while, I could go through and give you 30 seconds where he was great. But then the next answer is, I'll take the heat. It'll be comprehensive immigration reform.
See, Anne is worried there. And bless her for, you know, she has to react fast and hard, and that's one of the roles she has, and let the president know, you know, what the concerns are quickly. And that will involve for her sometimes, it's rational for her to anticipate and to fear. But to answer your question, Paul, no, nothing happened at that meeting. It's a preliminary. It's a negotiating preliminary. It's a strategic move by Donald Trump. So nothing comes of that. Nothing can come of that. There's nothing that can be decided. No law can be brought into place by a meeting at a table in the White House. And the and then Donald Trump in his tweets, I was reading some of his tweets. He had some very good things after that meeting. First he bashes sneaky Dianne Feinstein. And then he says, the United States needs the security of the wall on the southern border, which must be part of any DACA approval. The safety and security of our country is number one. And what I'm thinking, Paul, is that folks like Ann Coulter and Donald Trump himself, they have a list of things that they insist upon, such as ending the visa lottery, ending chain migration. I don't think Democrats are ever going to sign on to anything that would end chain migration. That's their bread and butter. So I don't think there's going to be any DACA deal. Another great thing I read today was somebody talking about the immigration invasion. You know, all of these people who've come into the United States are DACAs. They're all DACAs. The deferred action for childhood arrivals are not different from, you know, all these tens of millions in this country. All of them came in against the law. They're all working the system in exactly the same way as the DACAs. This is not some special group of specially worthy people. And what we've been talking about on the show, Paul, is sending them back. All these people in this country who don't belong here, send them all back. Call it a Peace Corps. Send them back to their nations of origin so that they can straighten out their own countries. We'll make it easy for them to get back there. We'll cover their expenses, whatever it takes. It's a good investment on our part. Just send them back to their countries and, let them do something good. If these are the great humanitarians, the wonderful people that we are told they are, well, they're certainly going to want to go back to straighten out their country where all their ancestors and their relatives are. And, these are their countries. It's not a hardship, Paul, to tell them to go back to your country.
Your country, exactly.
Imagine, Paul, if you were ordered to go back to Canada, that you were in some country, and they said, you are going to have to go back to Canada. Well, hey, sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. And your calls, 800-313-9443. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Still lasting here like the show.
The best of the free life is still yet to come. And
good times ain't over for good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Blackbird in the barn, 400 inch acres that used to be my farm. Grew up like my daddy did, my grandpa cleared his land. When I was five, I walked the fence while grandpa held my hand.
And the, kind of, maybe I hope to make Ann Coulter feel a little bit better. I think she's very good at reading the tea leaves. That tweet that we just heard from Donald Trump, of course, and he is the tweeting president. He's got a lot of tweets today. When he says, this is 12 hours ago, so he wrote this morning, you know, during breakfast, he wrote this one. And yesterday, he was being polite to Dianne Feinstein, who was saying, you know, we need a DACA deal, DACA this, DACA that. And Donald Trump was, I believe, humoring her. And I believe he was just going through when he said, you know, I respect everyone here and I think you guys can come up with a good solution, I don't think he believes that for a second. What I think he really believes is the sort of thing that he said this morning after that event, where he tells us what he really thinks. He says, the fact that sneaky Dianne Feinstein, and then he goes on with a message condemning her, but he calls her sneaky Dianne Feinstein. So, of course, Dianne Feinstein saw that tweet, as did 100 million other people who received it. Donald Trump is not, that is not what you say to somebody with whom you're about to close a deal or make a deal. That's something you say to somebody with whom you do not want a deal. So that's what I'm reading into that, Paul.
Yeah, you might be right.
I mean, you don't, you know, if you're on the verge of a colossal, huge deal and, you know, so on, which, you know, various people are wringing their hands, they're worried about it. I don't think Donald Trump's going to sell us out, folks. And I think it's a mistake when people are, you know, he's our leader. And he is truly a great, great leader. And the things he has done are astonishing. You know, we're the troops. We're the troops in formation behind him. And the you know, the next day, you know, less than 12 hours after he's, you know, making pleasantries with Dianne Feinstein, he calls her sneaky Dianne Feinstein. That's not what you say to your friend, you know, or to somebody that you're about to do a deal with. That's somebody that you want to, you'd like her to get really angry at you and say, I'm never doing any deal with that guy. So this guy is Donald Trump. This guy, our president, is the author of The Art of the Deal. And he is the best genius at how to get deals done. And deals involve, he makes it very clear, a deal is about the people, not about the things, not about the properties or, you know, the investments. It's about the people. And Donald Trump has won over and over and over again because he knows how to deal with people. And I think he just displayed that with Dianne Feinstein and these other people that he had at that mahogany table. Now on another front, good news, Donald Trump in that comment there, he's calling her sneaky because she's of things, documents that she's leaking on the Trump-Russia hoax. His next tweet, directly connecting, he says, the single greatest witch hunt in American history continues. There was no collusion. Everybody, including the Dems, know there was no collusion. And yet on and on it goes. Russia and the world is laughing at the stupidity they are witnessing. Republicans should finally take control. Ah, that's what you're going to see starting tomorrow, folks. The House Intelligence Committee, I believe, will be taking testimony. I think they're getting testimony from this guy who worked with McCain named Kramer, who was intimately involved in the fake Russia dossier. So here's what you're going to see happening this week, folks. When Donald Trump says Republicans should finally take control, the Republicans that are going to do it are people like Jim Jordan, and the House Intelligence Committee, and the other House committees. I don't think much is going to happen in the Senate, but they're going to drag in Peter Strzok. They're going to drag in Lisa Page and Andrew Weissman and Andrew McCabe, and they've got the goods on them. Here's the great news. How this was gotten, well, we can only wonder. 10,000 text messages between Peter Strzok, the head of counterintelligence in the FBI, and who was working for Robert Mueller, point man for Robert Mueller, between himself and his mistress, Lisa Page, an attorney also working for Mueller. And those 10,000 text messages, folks, more of them came out today. Hannity had them on his show. 500 have been released of the 10,000. And Sarah Carter, who's one of the top investigators on the question, said she is quite sure that all 10,000 are about to be released in a large batch. And this is going to explode in the Democrats' faces because these messages show, Hannity made the point. He said, remember the Comey testimony when he said, very sanctimoniously, he said in House hearings, he said, FBI agents don't take political stands. FBI agents are, you know, uphold the law and are neutral, and just very sanctimonious. Well, right. Hannity said, after you read these 10,000 text messages between these two FBI people, Lisa Page and the head of counterintelligence, Peter Strzok, you're never going to think for a moment again that FBI people don't get political, especially corrupt ones like these at the top. I'm sure there are great FBI agents in the ranks who do live up to that ideal. But James Comey and Robert Mueller, remember, he was at one time head of the FBI. These people, totally corrupt, and they have now been caught with their hands in the cookie jar. These text messages should be their undoing, because some of the messages that came out today, Paul, actually, Page and Strzok are talking about articles appearing in the Wall Street Journal and other publications, and they're giggling and laughing with each other about articles that they obviously set up to be published based on material that they leaked. This is treason. This is a felony. They leaked information from the FBI to the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and then they're texting to each other going, you know, ha ha, giggle, giggle. Isn't this great?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, but I mean, they're caught red-handed. In their text messages, it's actual testimony. They're reciting what they did. So Jim Jordan and these other very sharp right-wingers on the House committees, they are going to have a field day with these people, take them apart in detail. So look forward to that starting tomorrow, folks, and then continuing, it'll go on for weeks. But I think this will be a turning point where the whole Russia hoax is going to come undone, and the attention is going to turn back on the criminal element at the top of the FBI under Obama. And the focus of investigation will go at, as Donald Trump said, what did he say? He said, Republicans should finally take control. And Jeff Sessions has shown some inclination to do that. He has started an investigation, reinvestigation of Hillary Clinton and her emails and Uranium One. So watch all of that take shape here. And that'll be fun to report right here. It'll be very exciting to report. More than fun, it'll be exciting. And it'll be a really big opening in the Trump, you know, the Trump phenomenon. So look forward to that. The also another story to report on, Steve Bannon. Well, Steve Bannon has issued a mea culpa, and he said he's sorry about things he said, and he said my support for Donald Trump is unwavering. I'm all in for Donald Trump. And this is great. I'm so glad Steve Bannon did that, and it's the right thing to do. And I neglected to report this. He resigned from Breitbart. Was it yesterday or the day before? Steve Bannon resigned his position as the CEO of Breitbart. So, again, that's also the right thing to do because it frees up Breitbart from all of the controversy. And
what happens to Bannon? Bannon was a key man there.
Oh, well, okay. While you were in the airplane crossing the Atlantic, Paul, a real left-wing, lowlife, Michael Wolff, released a book, Fire and Fury, which is...
I saw that. That's a week ago.
Yes, but that book purports to contain quotes from Steve Bannon that just, you know... put him in an impossible position where it's, you know, if Bannon did say these things, and he hasn't denied that he said quotes in the book, it's just the kind of talk you would never, you know, people among themselves, you know, among friends, they might say something, but he was talking to this Michael Wolff, who works for the left, and, right. You know, so it got into personal comments and, disparaging comments about Jared Kushner and Ivanka and Donald Trump Jr. And Steve Bannon made an untenable position for himself. Now the snake, Michael Wolff, he's in the White House with a tape recorder in his pocket. He's not telling people he's recording them. He's giving them a song and a dance about, you know, this is informal, off the record, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes and makes a book out of it. So
where does this leave Bannon now?
Well, Bannon is for the moment, he's kind of out in the cold. His biggest financial backers, Robert Mercer and Rebecca Mercer, have bailed out on him, according to their latest comment. And they have said, you know, we're all in for Donald Trump, as Bannon said. You know, we're all in for Donald Trump, and we haven't talked to Steve Bannon in some months, and doesn't sound like they will be either. So the idea of Steve Bannon building himself, personally spearheading a big network and, you know, with big backing from the Mercers, that looks like that's not going to happen, if it ever was going to happen. But this is not in any way a catastrophe for Donald Trump, this book. And the Michael Wolff, he is so full of himself. He's been on TV saying that his book is going to bring down the Trump administration. And actually, I don't think it's going to do much of anything, because it's such an obviously tabloid quality book. And he was asked on TV today, he was asked, you know, well, are you going to produce any tapes or any, you know, verification of your quotes? He said, no. He said, that's not what I do. I'm not a journalist like you. I write books. Oh, and then he said an amazing statement. He said, read the book. And if the book feels right to you, then it's true. He actually said that. So, and Hannity had to laugh. He said, oh, we have a new journalistic standard now. If it feels right to you, then it's true.
If it feels good, do it. But boy, just flash back to the 60s.
Yeah. So who knows what Michael Wolff is smoking. But his book is not being taken seriously, and it's so shabby. I would have liked to have seen Steve Bannon saying, "Hey, I didn't say those things."
Yeah.
But there's a twist here, Paul, because if you've been doing interviews for 6 months or a year, you don't remember what you said a year ago. So, you know, it's and then he says, "I'm not going to produce the tapes." So, and all this stuff, all this talk in this book, Fire and Fury, it is in fact fire and fury over nothing, because there's very little substantial element at all to the book. It's just what you would hear people talking about, you know, behind someone else's back, you know, and the kind of thing that's sure to make people angry if it were, you know, shared with the people about whom it's being said. And that's what Michael Wolff has taken upon himself. He's going to be the provocateur who gathers up the quotes from various people, embellishes them as he sees fit, and then publishes them, making everybody furious at everybody else. And you know, he's a bomb thrower, in other words. But I don't think it's there's nothing in there. There's no there. It's just petty comments by people about each other, and so it won't go anywhere. On the other hand, Donald Trump is quite right. Republicans finally take control. And what we have now is we have definite proof and evidence of crimes by Hillary, of crimes by Robert Mueller, of by James Comey, by this entire cadre of top FBI people, and McCabe and Strzok. And Mueller, all of them, and this should become really devastatingly good news when this stuff begins to be investigated. I've got some callers here. Excuse me for missing you guys, Stanley in Florida, and Richard in Oklahoma. Stanley, let's go, and Richard in Oklahoma. Let's start out with Richard in Oklahoma. Richard, you're on the air.
Yeah,
come in, Richard.
Yeah, what Trump did was genius. I mean, he riled everybody up to start calling these senators and congressmen in the White House.
Yeah, well, I think it's
called reverse psychology.
Well, also what he did, Richard, that I think also may be quite brilliant, is he said at this meeting, Paul, you know, the most worrisome comment that he made at the meeting was, he said, I know all of you people are going to work out a good immigration program and something I could sign. And I'm going to trust you to work that out. Well, you know, that's like, he knows that's not going to happen. But what he has done is he's said, well, I'm going to give you guys a chance. Here you go. You children, here you go. You go out and see if you can fix this problem here. And then I'll check in with you later. Well, and of course, he knows.
Everybody's going to hear from their constituents about this.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And Donald Trump has put the onus upon people like sneaky Dianne Feinstein. So that you're right. She's going to be hearing from her constituents and all the others will be hearing from their constituents. And Donald Trump has put the monkey on their back. Okay, you guys, you do the right thing when it comes to protecting our country. And then when they fail, Donald Trump will take up the torch. We'll be right back with one more segment. Stay tuned.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're back, folks, And we are in our last segment, Paul Fromm and I. But I want to thank you, Richard, in Oklahoma, for calling. And we've got Alan in South Carolina hanging on the line. We'll get to him in just a second. Another piece of good news about the wall. Maybe you've already seen this yourself on whatever media you're reading. But there are a dozen prototypes of the wall already standing right now east of San Diego. I'm looking at them now. Apparently there were some large number of contractors who put in bids. They wanted to build prototypes of the wall. About a dozen of them were accepted, and those contractors went to considerable expense and went down to San Diego and have built, each of them having built a prototype of their wall to the within the parameters given to them by Homeland Security and ICE. And you know, you can look at them, they're pretty darn impressive. Is the wall proceeding? Yes, it is. And build that wall. And you know, it really, when you think about it, you read the stories about how easy it is to cross the U.S.-Mexican border. Boy, is a wall needed. And yep. Donald Trump has been very consistent, folks, from the get-go. He has, when he makes a statement that there's some areas that don't need a wall. Well, he's talking about, mountain escarpments and raging rivers and so on. You don't need a wall in some places, but in all the places where a wall is needed, he wants to build it. And he's also talking about using his expertise to cut the cost. He's cut the cost on so many things. We don't appreciate it. It doesn't get any kind of a headline, from aircraft carriers to fighter planes. All these contracts, Donald Trump is applying his extraordinary art of the deal skills. And, for instance, Air Force One, there was some outrageous price tag quoted by Boeing. Donald Trump took a look at it, crossed it out with his red pen and said, send it back. We can do better than this. And Boeing came back with a much better deal. That's what he's been doing his whole life. So he's saving you and me billions of dollars just on his own, by his own very lonesome. He's revising prices downward on all sorts of things the government's buying, and this wall is included in that. So that's some good news there. And he said he had a press conference with the Prime Minister of Norway, who was visiting him in the White House today, and he had a good thing to say. He said, a reporter asked him if he would sign a DACA bill that did not include a wall. And people hear that and they go, oh, he's going to sign a DACA bill. No, I don't think he is. He said, no. We need the wall for security. We need the wall for safety. We need the wall from stopping drugs from pouring in. And without the wall, it all doesn't work. We need the wall. We have to have the wall. Security is number one. So the answer is, have to have the wall.
Very good.
Yeah. And how many times does he have to say it? I believe him. We'll be back with you again tomorrow night, folks. Thanks, Paul, and good luck there in England.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.